بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A warm welcome to all of you to the 20th episode of Iftar for Souls Season 3. And we've officially entered the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and honestly, it could have been also yesterday that was the first last of the 10 nights, because we don't know it yet if it's going to be 29 or 30 days of Ramadan. In case we don't sight the moon, we will know that pretty much at the end, towards the end. So today is the first night. So it's the first night of the five nights that where we are required to search the Laylatul Qadr, on the night in which the night of power, the night of degree, in which we believe, the Muslims believe, that the Quran was revealed. What does it entail? What is all this is about? I can highly recommend you to refer to my previous season one. There's an episode exactly on this, the night of power, and what it actually is about. From today onwards, it might happen that I think these episodes will not be as academic as our earlier ones. I would be now focusing more on my personal perceptions, very limited perceptions on these ayat. Definitely, they still require academic research. They still require discussions, reflection. So please do not take my episode as an absolute statement on the reflection of these rhetorical questions. Having said that, now we are we finished the interfaith dialogue, and now we are. Now where we are at a point where, you know, Prophet Muhammad Sallam is also in discussion with the polytheists, which means people who are not the people of the book, people who had multiple gods, and they had they had established. For example, not many people know this, but the Kaaba, the black box, as it is well known, it housed several idols, which were abolished when the Mecca was conquered by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the context is more or less here. And we are looking at the ayah 170 today of the same Surah Al-Baqarah. And it says, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim. And when it is said to them, follow what Allah has revealed, they reply, no, we only follow what we found our forefathers practicing. Would they still do so, even if their forefathers had absolutely no understanding or guidance? Sadaqa Al-Azim. Now, the only possible argument and justification for these taboos was that they had been sanctified by the practice of their forefathers, from whom they had allegedly come down generation after generation. Which means, you know, it shows their fickle-mindedness, that they deemed this argument to be sufficiently persuasive, that I'm only following this because I found my forefathers on that. But what is the idea here, right? What is the rhetorical question here? Would they still do so even if their forefathers had absolutely no understanding or guidance? Now here, Allah puts under question all faiths at hand, not only all faiths, lifestyles, cults, practices, social norms, faith that we have, the belief that we have. And this is somehow, you know, also corresponding to our previous discussions on epistemology. Here Allah points out one particular aspect here. Why do people believe in something, right? Like why do I believe in Islam, for example? Why do I believe in Christianity? Why am I an atheist? The atheists that I have met, or agnostics that I have met, especially agnostics from the Islamic world, they were mostly agnostic because they did not like the compulsion that they felt through their families, that they were not free to ask questions. They did not feel that I can question anything, that there was no reason, there was no logic behind it. It's just that, you know, this doctrination of ideas that just, you know, passes one generation after the other. And this goes completely against the teachings of the Quran. Quran invites, I pointed this out earlier, that Quran points out to tatabbur and tafakkur. These are two aspects that I can highly recommend you to research on and to study a bit more about this, because it really invites a reader to reflect, to think, to use your intellect, right? Because This is something that Allah gifted us with. He gave us this aql. We talked about this aql like once. The people are not to be trusted if they alter the truth after instilling that knowledge into their aql, into their wisdom. So this is very important that we know that there is reason in Islam. And this is, and yes, since our reason is limited, there is no, when I say that there is no reason, there is a limited reason, that does not mean that I cannot reach any heights that I want. I can reach as many heights as I want. However, I should also know that this is not an absolute infinite space that I have. There will be certain things which I will find a bit like, okay, what's happening here? That's why it's important then for us to know what is the base of all of this, right? This is what Allah is saying here. Follow what Allah has sent down. Then they say, instead we would follow what we found our fathers on. So what are they basing their belief on? That they base the belief that, yeah, this was a custom that I saw my fathers doing it, and my father saw his father, and his father saw so on, right? Like you have this generational transmission of knowledge and information and a belief system. That's why if you look at the story of Salman al-Farsi, who was one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a Persian who was born and raised in a family of Zoroastrianism, and it was a huge shame for the family to know that their son is leaving the fold of Zoroastrianism, because first he went towards Judaism, Christianity, and then eventually ended in Islam. However, it's important to question, even as Muslims, to know what, I mean, this is a question that we Muslims can ask ourselves. Would we be able to give at least a bit of logic or reason why we believe in Islam? Is it because only we our parents told us to? Is it only because we were taught that? Or is it also because we have a personal connection to that? We had a journey that we took to understand, to know who Allah is. Yes, our parents, I mean, we should not, okay, before I touch that topic about if we should follow or not, let's talk about two certain aspects here. So the word here used is attabi'u. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمَ attabi'u. Now, attabi'u comes from the root word of, that has a triliteral root of taba'ain, which means follow, went, or walked behind, after, overtook, pursue, investigate, examine, hunt, sought, reach, obtain it, and the list goes on. Or, you know, it also means successive, follower, imitator. So the root is this, taba'ain is that. And that's why it falls very neatly into this, that it's not only just following, right? If you think about it, it's also imitation. It also means pursuing it, overtaking it. So I'm following after something. So something has been established by my forefathers, and I'm following that. It could be any social norm. It could be any cultural norm. But where am I taking this culture from? Right? Like, that's why it's, I mean, yes, Islam beautifully adapts cultures all over the world, but it does not mean that my filter should not be a culture. I should not see that, okay, if it fits my cultural practice, then I would accept this aspect of Islam. It should be the other way around. And this is what Allah is saying here. Would they, and this is a challenge, right? Would they still do so even if their forefathers had absolutely no understanding or guidance? Now, here the words used are yaqilun for understanding and yahtadun. Yaqilun comes from the same root we talked about earlier, which was the aql, right? Like the, just a second, I'll give a quick look to that, and then we can dig into it also. Ayn, qaf, lam, exactly. So let's see, what is that? We can refresh our memories because we talked about it earlier. Ayn, qaf, lam. So, all right, Ayn Qaf Lam means be intelligent, become wise, to bind, keep back, understand, and ascend on the summit of a mountain. So it's interesting that, you know, you ascend to a summit of a mountain, like metaphorically speaking, you basically reach heights when you have wisdom, when you have intelligence, when you become wise. So what Allah is saying here, that even if, would you still do so, even if they did not have any understanding or guidance? Yatadun comes from Hadith of the guidance. So here it means that we la yaqilun wa la yatadun, which means that it's okay to follow our forefathers. That is not being put under question here. But it means that if they do not have the right, if they do not have the correct guidance, if they do not have the correct knowledge, that is when we need to be a bit more critical here. Like, how am I going? What parts am I going to follow? What parts am I not going to follow? So it does not mean that I start rebelling, but I need to at least know what part of what I'm told. Like it happens several times in the families, for example, like don't do this is because this is what it says in the Quran, and you open the Quran, you don't find it anywhere. Okay, this is what the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. But then you're like, okay, this hadith. And I think this is one of the biggest problems in our cultures, especially, and I don't know about Arab or other Indonesian or other cultures, but in Pakistani cultures, so many quotes go around and people just say that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said this. But then what's the proof of that, that he actually said that, and that he is reported to have said that? Much of our practices are based in words like this. For example, some people are like, yeah, you can only pray after all the azan of all the mosques are over. But this is not the case. You can actually pray when you hear the sound of azan. If even if one azan is over, there are four others going on, you can still start praying. But then, you know, we start picking up stuff from our elders, and we give a certain value to our elders. And because of the respect and the trust we give, we think, okay, what they are saying to us is actually true. But then Islam comes in and says that, you know, this is where, you know, I find this really interesting concept of ijtihad, the imperative guided deduction. What is that? So I will be quoting again from Arif al-Quran here, that it is, which says that it is from guidance or the right path signifies injunctions revealed by Allah Almighty openly and clearly, while aql or reason stands for imperative guidance deduced by the great armed division of ijtihad from the recognized source of Islamic Sharia. So, what does that mean? That if we have a certain topic at hand, and we know that we look to our sources of Quran and Hadith, the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if we do not find anything explicit there, then we refer to an alim, to a scholar, who based on his understanding of the. A certain alim has the perfect knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah, and in the absence of a clear and direct instruction of the two sacred sources, he has the expertise, the right expertise of a mujtahid, so that he can, by analogical deduction, arrive at rulings from the text of the Quran and Sunnah. So you see that here, he arrives at rulings from the text of the Quran and Sunnah. So you never leave them alone. You don't stand up and say, okay, this is my interpretation. The interpretation has to be still in line with the Quran and Sunnah. We cannot leave that out. That's why this centralization of knowledge is so much of a blessing of Allah, that we do not feel lost at whatever point we are. So we can tell from a liar and from the truth. So we can tell from who is twisting the message of Allah how he wants and who is not. And this is why, you know, it's such a relief for those hearts who are seeking our truth, that Allah has preserved this message for generations to follow, and there are people who are truly and rightly guided. There are scholars out there. One of the biggest questions one of the most repetitive comments that I hear are, well, who do I know? Everyone is interpreting it their own way, so who do I follow? That imam is corrupt, that maulvi is corrupt, that scholar is corrupt and whatnot. But if you keep on thriving on this mindset, you will truly not find any scholar at the end of the day, because you have conditioned yourself not to believe in anything that is told to you. I was one of those people also. I was like, okay, who do I listen to now? If I go to this guy, he will tell me a different story. Then if I go to that guy, he will tell me a different story. I will just sit down and do it myself. But then I told myself, well, you know, there are also multiple universities for teaching mechanical engineering, but there is still one university or four or five or ten which have the qualifications, which have the know-how and expertise to impart that knowledge. And then I went there. And this is how it happens with Islam also in other sciences. We just need to, just because there is an abundance of fishy resources or not trustworthy resources, does not mean that there are no resources out there. Just because an absence of something does not confirm the absence in absolute. It is difficult, especially in today's time, it's difficult to arrive at a certain scholar. But honestly, once you arrive at one, Allah makes it so easier for you. You have to have that desire in you to seek that knowledge. And Allah makes it easier for you to reach out to those people. And just see, continuously monitor the state of your heart. See where your heart is, what your heart desires, what your heart yearns, what is going on with your heart. You have to constantly have the state of your heart monitoring, the monitoring of the state of your heart. We cannot ignore that. We as Muslim cannot ignore what's happening in our hearts, the center point of our emotions and our emotional intelligence. So what other important thing that a mindful Quran states is that it becomes clear that those who hasten to quote verses of this nature, excuse me, this was another thing. Yeah, so I would like to also point out on this person, this comment as well, that it means that one has to obey the injunctions of Allah alone to the exclusion of others. But since a direct and trustworthy knowledge of the injunctions of Allah is not readily available to us due to our ignorance, we have to follow a mujtahid, an alim, a scholar, in order to act in accordance with the injunctions of Allah Almighty. From what has been said, it becomes clear that those who has hastened to quote verses of this nature against following the great mujtahid imam are themselves unaware of the proven meaning of these verses. So that's why it's good enough to prove that following forefathers in what is false is forbidden, while it is permissible, rather desirable, in what is true. The truth of Islam is clear. There are clear greens and reds. We usually start from the gray area, and that's why there's so much confusion. If we start from the greens and reds and then walk towards gray, our life will become much simpler. So let's see, I will go back to the same thing that I said earlier. Like here also, you know, look at the ayah. Follow what Allah has revealed. Allah's name is there. Allah has revealed who is Allah and what has He revealed and what is this revelation thing He's talking about? Why do I have to follow Allah? Who is Allah, right? Like if I'm told, Rizwan, go and follow this person. My first question would be, why should I follow this person? Why should I take his advice? Who is he? Rizwan, go to this therapist, go to that doctor. Who is this doctor? What is his qualifications? Why should I follow that? Right? So this is the first thing that comes to your mind. So let's explore who Allah is. Let's put the effort to actually understand him. And then they say, no, we follow only what we found our forefathers practicing. So forefathers practicing, right? So the emphasis is on the practice. So the emphasis is not the qualification of the forefathers or whatever. So again, it shows that the psychology of people, you follow what you see, right? So you start thinking, believing that, okay, this is the truth, what I see people doing. But that's not it. We have to go a bit further, because right after that, Allah says that a practice is baseless. A practice has no weight if it is not understood, it is not understood with wisdom, and it's not guided. Guided by whom? Again, we go back, follow what Allah has revealed. So Allah is the one through which you get guidance. So may Allah open our hearts again to understand, to yearn for His guidance, to yearn for His light, and may Allah make us people of wisdom. May Allah make us people of seeking true knowledge, a knowledge that will do the best to us, prepares to live the best of the lives, and to help us in the life hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Thank you so much for tuning in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.